Welcome to Whitehall Works. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Zach.
And today we are going to talk what is arguably and currently maybe the hottest topic in economic development, workforce development.
Workforce development efforts aim to improve the quality and skills of the workforce, you know, helps businesses meet their human resource demands, and provides channels for businesses and workers to connect. You know, includes education, training, improving basic skills, hard skills, soft skills. It's a really robust topic. And I think one of the things I've learned, you know, in my decade plus working in development is that there really isn't a magic bullet to solve this issue. Everybody seems to be doing a little bit. There certainly are programs, you know, at the state level and at the regional level and local level. But I think it's really important that you think about workforce development as a collaboration rather than, you know, what is the one tactic to use to get towards, you know, improving workforce.
Right. And I guess one thing I'll kind of jump off on is economic development and workforce development are kind of two different professions and focuses. Economic development, like Zach said, is very collaborative. It's very broad. As economic development professionals, we know that businesses make location decisions based on labor pool and institutions that support those employees.
Well, and I think that's a really good point. I think it's something that even we've seen a change in the last few years, maybe the decade, is the notion of, you know, employers are now looking to locate closer to where their workforce is, or potential workforce, rather than, you know, the previous model, which was, okay, employer sets up shop where they think it's best for them, and then the workforce kind
moves
of
there.
Then moves around them. I think that's a big, you know, big change that we've seen in the industry, you know, here recently.
Mm-hmm. And then kind of the difference between that and the workforce development world is that their focus is more on the education and training and transferable skills of the employee at an individual level. So it is a little bit different, even though we have a common goal, you know, which is to strengthen the local talent pool and match the needs of our employers locally and regionally, because workforce development is a regional problem because or a regional issue because it, you know, it doesn't it, not everybody works in Whitehall and lives in Whitehall.
Right.
So that crosses the borders.
No, I think that's great. And I mean, your typical workforce challenges include finding qualified workers, retraining workers, and then that balancing the workforce development with locational drivers. And so those are typically the challenges that you see associated with workforce. You know, that's why we spend a lot of time working with our employers to really understand what kind of employees are they looking for, what are the skill sets, what's the experience, and then working with our regional partners to do things like, you know, creating educational programming or improving transportation, and all of those kind of factors that, again, help benefit then that workflow back to the city.
Right. And so I think now is probably a good time to talk a little bit about what we're specifically doing and targeting here at Whitehall. So a little bit of statistical information for you here,
Ooh,
Zach.
Bring the numbers.
Okay. All right. So our average age of residents is 33.9.
Okay.
About 13% have a bachelor's degree or higher.
So what's that compared to, like, the county?
So
like
the county is at about 38%.
Okay.
And then we kind of just touched on this a little bit, but 3.5% live and work both in the city of Whitehall. Everybody else is either commuting in or leaving the city to go work.
Right, which is, again, we've touched on this in previous episodes. So if you didn't know about the job hubs that are in Whitehall, you would assume that Whitehall then is really a bedroom community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting because, you know, as we've talked about in 2017 as an example, 33,000 different people worked in Whitehall. And when you think about only 3.5% actually live in the city, there is this big kind of, you know, crossing in the middle of the night kind of an idea where you have a significant amount of the workforce that comes in during the day and our residents are leaving town to go get employment outside of the city. So it really is an interesting dynamic that we have that I don't know a lot of other communities are facing that same challenge.
Yeah. And the top sectors that we have in the city are public administration, retail and trade, healthcare and social assistance, and accommodation and food service. So that is a little bit about our city. Yeah, I do too.
Clearly,
yes.
Yeah. So, Jenna, tell us a little bit about, I mean, why don't you tell the people listening to the podcast a little bit how we are kind of integrating, always looking for ways to integrate our workforce development into our business retention efforts.
Yeah, sure. So first, we really want to help those businesses and their relationships, and creating a workforce programs, also building new partnerships and capacity of those partnerships, and then building clusters for our niche businesses that we have in our community.
So when you talk about kind of creating workforce programs, can you give an example of, you know, a program that, you know, you either through the chamber or through our parks department, you know, where we are helping to kind of meet those programs to help bring additional qualified and trained professionals to those employment opportunities?
Sure. So our parks department really spearheaded this program for teens, and we worked really closely with our schools and the chamber and other organizations such as Dawson, who is here with us today, but we'll get to that later.
We're not talking about Dawson yet.
Okay, all right. And we really helped the teens work on resumes and doing mock interviews and stuff like that. And then we...
And these were predominantly high school kids.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So we are... We would have, you know, we're hoping to develop that program to go down even to the junior high level and up as well, and really kind of help kids kind of think about where they want to go at a career. So
and so the other part of that too, if I remember correctly, was, you know, not only did we help them with resume and with interviews, but then we're also working with local employers,
right,
that may have job openings, especially predominantly with the high school kids on a seasonal kind of summer,
yes,
employment kind of schedule, but working with them again to link, you know, those kids who we had worked with some of those employment opportunities located in Whitehall.
Yeah.
What were some of the businesses that had, you know, kind of taken part in that? Do you recall?
We have Takea, the water bottle company. Their distribution center is located here. I know they were very involved in this. And I think that the other part of this program was that there was two parts. So there was, you know, the job skills part, and we kind of touched on this, and then they were going to do job shadowing. And so these students were going to get paid over the summer too, which was a really great benefit.
No, absolutely. I think that's a really good example of, you know, working with our workforce to get, you know, the children who are the population that lives in Whitehall, giving them that opportunity and that exposure to, mm-hmm, those kind of careers and those kind of jobs. I think that's great. The second thing that, you know, we spent a lot of time on with workforce is this idea of developing place, right? So, you know, as we've talked about previously, we just announced a redevelopment of the 50 acres, you know, at the intersection of Broad Street and Hamilton Road in Whitehall. And so as we and we'll certainly get into more details in future podcasts specifically about that development. But, you know, the goal is to build, you know, really a unique identity and work to, you know, bring in companies that would invest in high-skilled jobs and create and have additional talent attraction. So this idea of live, work, play, again, as we talked about earlier, the idea that this is a place where professionals, young professionals, millennials want to live.
Yes, those quality of life factors.
Right.
Yep.
And so if you can build the environment, then the employers want to be around those places as well, and then you have you are increasing the employment watershed, you know, the ability to attract additional employees to your company because you've located, you know, on site.
Right. Another thing, I know you kind of touched on this, is the transportation issue and kind of rethinking how our community is developing and how we integrate the transportation, working with CODA as we plan for the smart growth of our community as we grow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's I don't know that it's underappreciated, but I think in part it is. Our residents, whether it's in Whitehall, in the county, in the region, their ability to navigate in the region to get to employment, I think, is such a critical component of how we are going to grow. You know, Morpsey's 2050 Insight 2050 study talks about growing by 1 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've talked about, and certainly have talked to City of Columbus and Dakota, you know, about how do you really develop these regional transportation hubs and networks, you know, whether it's through bus rapid transit. We obviously, you know, believe that, you know, Broad Street is a natural to go from West Broad, you know, out by the casino all the way east out to Etna, into Licking County and Pataskala. And so you could link hundreds of thousands of employment opportunities along that one corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that then you could develop dense residential around those networks, and now you have the ability to even add additional jobs up and down that corridor, I think is a really critical path for the region over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And so you're right. Transportation plays a huge role, you know, whether it's in logistics, not just getting the goods and services there, but also how does that play a role into the individual making $15, $16, $18 an hour?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how do you improve, you know, the ability for these companies to locate already in an area where the workforce doesn't have to drive 20 minutes and where then reliability for that workforce increases? So I think that's a really important part is that transportation.
Yeah. And I'll kind of briefly touch on this point because you can listen to our previous podcast, episode 3 on affordable housing. So our mayor and our administration also know how essential it is to integrate those affordable housing opportunities for the jobs, you know, that are located around our community and really attract the people that work there. And it also, I think, attracts young entrepreneurs and people that are looking for that those quality of life factors that we just talked about.
No, I agree. And so the third strategy is really, you know, working to strengthen the worker pipeline, you know, partnering with schools to bridge the gap between education and industry. And this is where we have Matt Backowitz from Dawson with us that we'll bring on in just a second. But I think that's really important. You touched on this teen employment initiative that our Parks Department spearheaded this summer. And, you know, I think it's really, really important that I think it was, you know, just as important kind of pre-COVID and the pandemic. I think it's going to be even more important now moving forward with the unemployment rate, what it is, that really working to ensure that our young people who are going to be entering the workforce, you know, that we can work with them to ensure that they have this great pipeline of employment opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I do want to bring in Matt Backowitz with Dawson. Matt, we appreciate you being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, hey,
great
Matt.
To see you guys.
So, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then give our listeners a little insight on Dawson.
Yeah, my name's Matt Backowitz. I'm the Vice President of Sales and Business Development for Dawson. We are a workforce solutions provider here in Columbus, Ohio, and we provide job placements, HR management solutions, and community workforce programs, and we've been doing it for 74 years in the Central Ohio region.
Now, have you been there the whole 74 years?
No.
No.
8 years. Can you believe that? You've had to deal with me for 8 years.
I have had to deal with you for 8 years. So, Matt, tell us, I mean, we talked just a minute ago about, you know, strengthening this part, this pipeline and partnering with schools. Tell us a little bit about how your organization does that, some of that partnering.
Yeah, we took the initiative about 4 years ago to really take a feet to the street approach to make people aware of the great companies and opportunities that are here in the Central Ohio region. We found out a lot of people just weren't aware of the great careers and companies that are here. And it's amazing when you get out there and you bring these aha moments to them. So what we did is we started our community workforce program where we partnered up with school districts around the Central Ohio, and then we've also formed a Career Kickstart, which is a tuition reimbursement plan for those people that want to go to school, and then we can place them to work with some great companies and start their career.
Excellent. So what are some of the school districts here in the region that you have you've partnered with or that you've been able to get into their schools and talk to their students?
Yeah, we have partnered up with Hilliard City Schools. We've partnered up with Southwest City Schools. We've also done some work with Whitehall,
excellent,
Reynoldsburg, and worked with Jenna in the past over at Delaware County and
yep.
some of those schools as well. So we have gone after those individuals and the superintendents, and we partnered up. It's their message to their community, and we try to look at how we can take some of those individuals and place them, and also not just the students, but the parents.
Hmm.
And one of our goals is how great would it be if we could impact an entire family and get them started on a great career and to change their lives.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Right. It sounds so easy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's simple as that.
It's taken some time, but we're going to keep at it.
Yes. So kind of just to shift gears a little bit. So we've heard, you know, our current workforce, you know, millennial generation specifically has, you know, about 7 different jobs or career paths throughout their career. So could you touch on maybe the need to continuously prepare the workforce for retraining?
Yeah, the new normal now, and I think is constantly learning. And we have a motto, you never stop learning. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's no longer to where you graduate. Maybe if you did choose to go to college or whatever, and then you don't go back and retrain yourself. Now, in order to get that promotion, you're going to have to either reskill yourself, educate yourself to where you can get that next promotion. Some of the companies around in our town actually look at a lattice approach also, so in which they actually take an individual and provide them opportunities in different areas throughout their career. So at the end of it, they've learned the entire business.
So with the current pandemic that we're experiencing right now, how much more important is that very notion of reschooling and retraining just with everything we've seen with unemployment and those kind of things?
Sure. I think we're going to probably see some more some companies laying off some different levels of talent coming on here now. And I think that's just part of the change, right? And some of this stuff probably would have happened pre-COVID. But because of that, people are going to have to go back and reskill. Hmm. And that's part of our plan with the tuition reimbursement. But it's so important now because what you know now, there's so much change and it's happening so fast. In order to bring value, that's the word we keep using, how we can consistently bring value to our clients. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way everyone has to have the mindset, how can I consistently bring value to my company and how I'm going to, you know, improve my life.
So kind of expanding on that thought again as it relates to COVID, what are some of the trends that you're seeing, you know, kind of coming out of, not coming out of, but in the midst of this pandemic?
Yeah, what we've, you know, pre-COVID.
Or some of the challenges that you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, pre-COVID, right? Mm-hmm. We were here, we had an unbelievable demand, right, for jobs. And because of that, we had an instantaneous shutdown. We are starting to see an increase in some demand, but we are actually having some difficulty in filling those positions right now.
What do you attribute that difficulty to?
I think there's a couple factors that are going on right now. Obviously there's been part of the stimulus. I think it's all important to provide people those benefits that are needed, but I think now there are some opportunities for them to get back to work, and we have some of those for them to get this thing up and running because it's needed.
You were telling us before we started the podcast, how many openings do you have right now?
We have over 250 openings right now, currently.
And so individuals who are looking for a job, you know, they could contact Dawson and there's 250 jobs ready to go.
Correct.
Excellent.
And so those are in different, again, e-commerce, logistics, manufacturing, but we're also starting to see an uptick in call center right now. And some of these opportunities are allowing these people to work from home.
Okay.
So there are some opportunities out there that people can take advantage of. That's part of our job, is to get the awareness out there.
Well, and I think that's really important. I mean, I think the narrative that you hear a lot, not being, you know, in, as Jenna mentioned earlier, we're, you know, kind of on the fringe of workforce development. But I think the average person thinks, well, we lost 30 million jobs in the country, so there must not be that many job openings. There must not be, you know, places if I did get, you know, laid off or my hours reduced, there might not be a lot of other opportunities. So it's really encouraging for me to hear that, you know, today there's 250 jobs that I can look at Matt Bakowitz from Dawson and say, that's where you can go if you want a job today.
There are. And I think we're coming into our peak season, so there will be a demand. Some of those are temp to hire type of models. But I think we're going to see some opportunities for those that want to work from home increase as well.
But right, I certainly would think that that's going to be – you're going to see that I think that's probably how we were angling as a society anyway, increasing work from home. But, you know, I think any reservations that companies had, I think, you know, they were obviously forced off a cliff, you know, in March to ramp up or speed up those efforts.
Some companies were ahead of the curve, which has been great. Some of our clients were prepared. And so that has allowed them to weather the storm better. And it's been great for those individuals that they can keep working through this crisis. But I think you'll see a model to where the jobs, if they're a little bit more tactical, then those can be performed at an at-home basis. But if there's going to be strategy needed, I think you're going to see that to where that is still going to be needed to be done inside the office. So
do you see it as as maybe an answer to companies look, you know, potentially offshoring jobs that maybe working from home and being able to reduce, you know, their rent or, you know, building that they own because they don't need as much office space or as much call center space. Do you see that as maybe an answer to some of the offshoring of, you know, particularly call center jobs that we've seen over the last decade?
I think companies are definitely looking to ways to decrease their holdings on real estate. But I'm also seeing an uptick in people wanting to bring some of those jobs back and employ individuals here within our own boundaries.
Mm-hmm. I kind of put you on the spot there.
It's good. It's a valid point. But I think we're seeing a trend in which because of technology, you can work from home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's opening a lot of doors. There are companies out there to where they're actually taking those individuals and they're like 1099 employees. So it's almost an Uber model.
Okay.
Right? And so if you wish to, you may have another job, you may come home and say, hey, I'm going to work 4 hours tonight and do some call center business per se. There are companies out there who are starting that up at this time. But
See, I would pick that over Uber. I'm just not that good of a driver.
And right.
My car's never that clean, so they wouldn't
start
let me.
The call center,
right? They wouldn't let me do the Uber. So, what can we do at a local level to assist and for, you know, people who are, you know, local development practitioners?
Yeah.
What can we do to help kind of be involved in this space on a local level to help workforce issues?
It's a good question, and I think Jenna, you pointed out how economic development has changed. I don't think workforce was underneath your umbrella, right? And it has gradually become your responsibility. So any which way in which we can partner up and, again, educate, make people aware, job fairs, again, get in front of the companies and letting them know that there are different avenues and different ways to help them out. I think some of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to be different and unique. And we're trying to go after those talent pools of people that want to work, really put them and give them those opportunities. We always say we can get you to A to B, but it's up to you to get further along in your career. So excellent. I look at, you know, Whitehall is just has been a great partner. I think we'd love to, you know, however we can help out and, you know, that population and help them out and get careers and move to some great companies.
Perfect. Well, Matt, we really appreciate you being with us today for the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, Matt.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
So did I do a good job?
You did a great job.
Yeah.
Alex, how do you do?
Who are we talking about? No.
On that note, I think it's time for one of our favorite segments of the podcast, to kick it to the county.
So we have our good friend Alex Barris with us again today. And Alex, I know you've been listening to Matt talk a little bit about workforce, and we certainly wanted to get a good understanding and let people understand what the county is doing in that workforce arena. So, Alex, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your shop has going on in workforce?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Zach. Appreciate being on. You know, the Franklin County Commissioners, Franklin County, really takes workforce development seriously because at the end of the day, the county is the local safety net for workers and families in our community. We run the Job and Family Services Center and also are a major component of outfitting the board and direction of the Workforce Development Board of Central Ohio, which is all of Franklin County. And so those combination of things kind of put us at the heart of our county-wide workforce development efforts. And I think when you guys talk about the numbers of people coming in and coming out of Whitehall, you know, that's how we have to look at this at a regional level. Even at the county level, it's a little constrained, but the county at least gets us to these, starting to erase away these municipal boundaries in terms of transfers of skills. A couple things. One, it would be remiss for me to not mention just very quickly that especially potentially with some of the changes in unemployment benefits and those kind of things, in terms of just a frontline emergency response, the county commissioners put forward $500,000 right at the beginning of COVID for what we call the Franklin County Skills Boost with our Workforce Development Board of Central Ohio, which is essentially the Ohio Means Jobs Center for our county. It's the centralizing place for unemployment claims and getting back to work through unemployment. The Skills Boost as a program is really important in that essentially it takes what you have to do anyways to get on unemployment, a couple classes, a couple of things, and gives you an additional $250 just for going through one next step of kind of doing some career analysis and resume building. And that's really helpful, especially as we get worried about federal benefits potentially running out or maybe needing a stopgap. There's still plenty of those dollars available, and the program's rather simple. Then let's talk more about the systemic kind of workforce. How are we going to change things for the future? Two places that comes out of at the county. Really, our main driving force is our Jobs and Family Services Department, which is an extremely well-oiled machine at the county. I think.
Oh, absolutely. People, yeah. Director Bivens does just a phenomenal job with that department.
Whitehall resident.
Resident. Well, that's, listen, if you want it done right, hire a Whitehall resident. I think that's the theme for the podcast today.
Absolutely. Kudos to the city of Whitehall and obviously the Bivens family, big proponents of Whitehall. And yes, Director Bivens does a great job there. One of her initiatives that's really important to her is pre-apprenticeship, because we look at these when people talk about pathways. It's really what it is that we know that you can't just take someone that maybe hasn't had a job for a while or has had a lower skill job and immediately just expect them to have a living wage position and a highly skilled job immediately. There's a lot of barriers and there's a lot of other reasons, not tacked on the individual themselves, but just out there that they need to overcome. And so we look at pathways, and one of those ways is through pre-apprenticeship. And so a very successful program at the county has been what we call Building Futures, which is a pre-apprenticeship partnership between the Columbus Urban League and our labor trades union. And it has got people pre-apprenticeship training to get into the trades. And what we've already seen is that that's not just pre-apprenticeship. We're tracking actual results of folks going from, you know, underemployment or unemployment to a trade position, a skilled trade position, working on projects like the county jail, the Facebook data center out in New Albany, and other projects in our community.
What's the and you said it was two programs, Alex. What's the second one?
Oh yeah, so the second thing is something more right out of our shop in economic development planning that I oversee, and that's our PeopleWorks program. PeopleWorks has done a great job. Another way of looking at pathways is working with some of our tech accelerator programs, as well as innovative other approaches like I'd like to highlight Fortuity in Franklinton. This is a call center, but it's not just your normal call center. Mm-hmm. What it is a high-tech, high-end call center, but with about 18 different social service wraparound services and amenities on site, right on the number 10 bus line, that allows people, once again, a pathway from going from underemployed to a entry-level call center job, but with all the wraparound support and services to make sure that person's successful moving on up into what basically is a 18-month program to full sustainable living wage employment as a call center employee at Fortuity.
No, I think they are such a great example of, you know, kind of moving people, you know, into living wage and to great careers. I know that Dawson, as an example, works with them to help fill some of their employment needs. So no, they're certainly a great example of, you know, that holistic approach to improving people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And for people listening, if they have any questions on any of these workforce programs, I know I'm going through them rapidly, but you know, there's a lot out there and I want to get the information out to folks. They can call our office. Michael Salvador is our resource in-house. He's our workforce specialist. that works directly under me. His number is 614-525-7304. 525-7304.
He can work as an ombudsman. Directly. Call now to speak directly with Michael Salvador.
Yes. Yes. He'll love to work through different things that people might be considering, but also businesses. You know, really, this is a business end approach.
We're businesses. Encouraging everyone to call Michael Salvador
at 614.
525-7304.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
He's an Indian fan.
While Michael Salvador still, while supplies of Michael Salvador still exist.
No, that's fantastic. Anyways, I think, Alex, that is a really good snapshot of what all of the things that the county is doing in this space. And we could spend, you know, the next 40 minutes just getting into getting into more details.
That's what I was just going to say. We've really just scratched the surface on this workforce.
Well,
I
mean, absolutely.
And we struggled when we were laying out this episode of our podcast on just, you know, could this be two or three different episodes where we not only talked, and we talked to Matt Backowitz with Dawson today, but, you know, also talking to you, Alex, and it being a really robust. I really do appreciate the fact that, you know, you gave our listeners the ability to get those phone numbers. So if they have questions on any one of those programs, or if they want to talk to Michael Salvador, they have his phone number. And so again, Alex, we really appreciate you as always being on the episode today.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys, and keep going. The episodes have been getting better and better, so thanks for being on.
Thanks, really appreciate it. Yep.
Well, I just want to thank Matt and thank Alex for being on our show today, and now back to work.
Thanks for listening to Whitehall Works. This is a show hosted by the Economic Development Team, Zach and Jenna, at the City of Whitehall, a suburb of about 19,000 residents located in the Columbus, Ohio region. Economic development is a phrase you often hear, but the general public may not know what it means in practice. As a profession, economic development focuses on the well-being and quality of life in a local community, region, state, or country. Each episode will have a topic or a breakdown of efforts the City of Whitehall is working on to improve their community. But you are the community experts, and we want to hear from you. If you have any topics or questions for Zach and Jenna to talk about on the show, please email Whitehall Works Podcast in the subject line to economicdevelopment@whitehall-oh.us. Now back to work.